Hello, I'd like to welcome everybody to tonight's free ADDClasses.com teleseminar with our instructor, Laura Rollins. Our free teleseminar tonight is Gut Time, Productivity Through Time Management. So with that, I'd like to welcome back Laura Rollins, and I'm going to hand everything over to you right now. So welcome, Laura.
Thank you so much, and welcome to the class, everybody. Tara, I really appreciate being back tonight, and I'll be, just to let everyone know, I'll be teaching until about 9:45 Eastern, about 45 minutes, and then we will open it up for questions. And I know that on the webcast site there, or on the teleclass site, there is a place for you to ask your questions there. So please feel free to do that as we go through. And just to give everyone a little bit of introduction, again, my name is Laura Rollins, and our class tonight is Got Time, Productivity Through Time Management. And time management is a real passionate area for me. I'm an ADHD coach, and also I teach the adult ADD time management intensive here at ADD Classes. So I'm always excited when I can come on and talk to you about time management in different ways and really help you with your time management. If you want to connect after class, you can do that with me at Twitter. I'm just Laura Rollins, or on my website at myattentioncoach.com, and then I'm also on Facebook as well. So let me just jump right in and get started with our class, Got Time, Productivity Through Time Management. And if you have not done it yet, on the web page, go in and download the handout and then print that out if you would, and you can follow along with me. I've got places to take notes, and that's really going to help you put your learning to work after we're done with class. So if you haven't done that, I'm going to be going through the learning objectives. You've got a minute or two to get that done and make sure that you've got the information that you need. So let me start with the learning objectives. First, we're going to identify strategies for reducing interruptions, and then what that does is that's going to increase your available time. Then we're going to learn ways to overcome procrastination. So really dig in, and when you find yourself procrastinating over any number of things, this will be a way for you to really overcome some of that and again get to that productivity, do that time management. And then understand how to increase efficiency by planning ahead and using planners that work for you individually. I can't tell you how often I have had people say to me, oh, Laura, I don't have time to plan, or planning just doesn't work for me, or Laura, don't you know I have ADHD, I can't use a planner. And I beg to differ. It's just a matter of let's find a planner that will work for you as an individual, and then let's talk about some strategies to really use it and really get the most benefit out of that. So with that, I am going to jump in with interruptions. And the first thing to really think about with regard to interruptions is just why bother? Why should we even worry about it? And I get this question from two perspectives. One is from, you know, talking with clients and students that have ADHD and ADD, but the other is just from the public at large. But interruptions are part of our life. Don't we just have to deal with it? Don't we just have to accept it? And my answer to that question is, yeah, we have to learn how to deal with interruptions. But we really need to make a concerted effort to do that. And here's why. Julie Morgenstern is someone who I like to read her books, and she's got a good website. It's juliemorgenstern.com. And she writes, and I really want this to take a minute for this to sink in, but she writes about how after an interruption, it can take you 20 to 25 minutes to refocus. Now think about that, and think about how often you're interrupted during the day. And in answer to the question of why bother, if we can get rid of a few interruptions, we can find an hour in your day. And this is, her numbers are not for someone with ADHD. This is just, again, the population at large. So I just think if we can tonight figure out how you can reduce 3-4 interruptions a day, we're going to make a huge impact in the productivity and give you some of that time that you're looking for. The other thing that happens with interruptions, so hopefully I've convinced you that refocus time is really important to pay attention to, but the other piece of it is that your physical environment changes. And what I mean by that is, think about yourself at work, and you're sitting there and you're working on something, and someone comes in and says, Laura, I just have a quick question. And you go to your desk inside your file drawer and you get out a folder and you open that up and you start looking for the information they need. You give it to them. You give them the explanation. You turn back to your work that you were working on, but now you have this folder out on your desk and your physical environment changed. Or what happens, I think, even more commonly today is it's not something in your desk drawer, but it's something in another computer program. So you go open up something new, and then chances are you might even forget about the file that you were working on because we just don't have that same environment. So if we can limit some of those interruptions, then we can limit some of those environmental changes, and we can help ourselves, again, increase our productivity. Now, the last point that I've got here under why bother with worrying about interruptions is self-interruption. And I think this goes with the territory with ADD and ADHD around, this is what I call just your general everyday distractions. So it's interrupting yourself because maybe there's something on your desk and you look over at it, you know, you're working on one thing and then you look over at that other thing and you go, oh, wait, I need to go worry about that. You know, I need to go do that now, and then it's going to take me away from the real task at hand. So these three reasons for me really form the foundation of why you should pay attention to interruptions and why you should work to do something about it. And these different issues around interruptions can be managed, and your interruptions themselves can be managed with the strategies that I'm going to talk about tonight. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's an easy fix. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, right after this class, everything's going to be perfect. You really need to work at it. And, you know, I'm going to encourage you after the class tonight to take away some action steps that you're going to do for yourself, some homework, if you will. And one of those right off the bat is just look at these strategies and think about, okay, what can I do tomorrow to start managing some of these interruptions? So I want to start first with email. And you could also apply these strategies, some of these strategies, to texting. But the same concept applies with email as texting, and it's probably worse with texting. But let me just start with email. When we get an email at work, We used to think of that as a time saver. I mean, I think about, you know, 20 years ago when we went from the paper interoffice memo to, what do you mean I don't have to print it out on a piece of paper and send it through interoffice mail? I can just send it electronically. And that, when that evolution happened, that was a huge time saver. But now we've gotten to this point where email costs us time from the interruption perspective. And we've gotten into this habit of, oh no, I need to respond to that email right now because, you know, Sally's looking for an answer and, oh my gosh, if I don't get her an answer today, that's a problem. Well, I'd like you to take a step back from that and really look at email as an interruption and then look at strategies that you can use to manage that email. So the first thing to consider is to close that email. And you have different options as far as implementing this. You might check email twice a day. Check it in the morning and check it in the afternoon. Now, if you're sitting there going, okay, Laura, no, that won't work for me because my job requires me to check email on a regular basis, what I would like you to do is to think about how can you check email less frequently. So how can you, maybe you can't move to twice a day. I really recommend you try it. You're going to get more done throughout the day. You're even going to get to your email quicker if you only check it twice a day. But again, if that feels like, Laura, you're talking some talk I can't understand. I get it. So can you check email once an hour? Can you, you know, from, 10 after the hour to 20 after the hour, every hour you're going to go in and check your email. Or, you know, maybe it's the top of the hour for you. Or maybe it's every half hour if you have to. Because if you can give yourself that time in between, you'll get so much more work done than if you're checking that email constantly. Now, other things you can do to manage that email and therefore control some of the interruption that comes along is one thing is that you can automate. So think about and give, you know, I wish I could give you all the tools for all the different email programs there are, but you can search it out within that, the email tool that you have, and there's folders that you can set up to where if an email is from a certain person, it goes into an automatic folder. I have on mine, I have folders set up for clients so that if I don't have time to go through all of my emails, I can just go to those client folders and see what new email has come up. You can also color code things. So I had a job, gosh, probably 10 years ago now, where I essentially had two bosses and a lot of other stuff that I did, you know, in between talking to my two different bosses. And I assigned a color to each boss. And so then I could look at my email when I got to my desk and say, okay, Linda emailed and she needs something, or Sue emailed and she needs something. And one of those bosses usually took priority over the other. So, you know, I could hone in on that person right away. So color coding, even if you have to check email more frequently than you want to, color code the ones that really are going to be the ones that you need to respond to. And maybe they are your clients. Maybe, you know, it's your boss. Maybe it's the employees that report to you. Maybe it's your family. You know, it doesn't, for purposes of our class, it doesn't matter who it is. It's just who's your priority. Who's the reason you're checking the email? You know, who causes you to want to check that email, and you could color code that person so that you don't have to spend as much time when you're in there checking to look for those urgent emails. The other thing to do, and these next two email strategies are really around those emails that we don't need. And we sometimes may not even remember why we get them. I know I'm in that boat often. So one thing to do is just unsubscribe. When those emails come in, just immediately unsubscribe and move along. And you may have a tendency, and I do this myself, to say, oh, but what if I ever want to order from that store again? If you ever want to order from that store again, you'll remember. And if you don't remember, then it's probably okay that you don't order from that store again. They probably weren't that memorable, right? The other thing you can do, if you don't want to be in a position where you always have to feel like you want to unsubscribe, and you really do want to get to some of these things, but you're in a place where it's, you know, maybe I only have time to read it on the weekend. Well, set up an email address just for online ordering, newsletters. You know, anytime someone wants your email address, use that junk email address. So maybe you go set up a Gmail or another free account that you can really manage that in a way that doesn't interrupt your regular flow of your even your personal email or your work email. So next I'm going to move on to phone strategies. And I want you to think about the phone. So when we talked about email, think about how that can apply to texting for you. Now, also with the phone, you can think about how that can apply to texting. So with texting, it can really fall into both categories. So if the phone is interrupting you, either with text messages or by ringing, turn it to silent. You know, better yet, if it's a cell phone, and if there's another way for someone to reach you in case of emergency, turn it off. And just, for a period of time. Again, I'm thinking chunks of time for work that are not interrupted. So, so turn that phone off. Change your location to get away from that desk phone at work. You know, I know that what I have often used as a strategy and what works for a lot of people is if I'm at my desk and my desk phone is ringing off the hook, I'm going to schedule some time in a conference room and get away from that phone. Now, maybe I'll still have my cell phone, so maybe I'll silence that. And if you're at work, you might need to let people know where you are. And that type of thing, but to really give yourself that space to focus and to not be interrupted by the phone. Now, the last strategy that I have here around the phone, I call it just return calls at specific times. And what this means is that on your outgoing message, what I would encourage you to do, if it fits with your work, is to, hi, this is Laura Rollins. Thank you so much for calling. Please leave a message, and I will call you back this afternoon between 4 and 5 p.m. Eastern. So you're not setting people up to assume you're going to call them back immediately. And then you can have that time block between 4 and 5 p.m. Eastern to say, this is when I'm going to listen to my voicemail messages, and this is when I'm going to call people back. Now, another strategy along that lines is if you've got the luxury of having an assistant or you can hire a virtual assistant to take those messages, that would be something else to look at and to really consider. So, keep that in mind as another backup that you could use around the phone. The last area of interruptions that I want to talk about are those general work environment interruptions. And think about, you know, just take a second and picture yourself in your workday today. And in your work environment, how were you interrupted by others or by yourself? And just let's talk about strategies that can be applied around your work environment. So first thing to do is to think about organization. And I'm like everyone else. I can very often have a messy desk. You know, I've got, oh, that paper over there that I don't want to put away, and that folder over here is something I need to get to. If you can get that clutter on your desk under control and create some empty space on which to work, then you're not going to have those interruptions, and I'm talking those self-interruptions, from the clutter around you as much as you would if you've got a little piece of paper peeking underneath your notebook that you're trying to write in, for example. Another thing that you can do is to develop a code or a signal with family and coworkers. So if you get interrupted a lot, then sit down and you know, if you work at home, talk with your family. If you're working in an office environment, talk with your boss or your coworkers. And, you know, just let them know that you need to really manage your interruptions so that you can get more productivity and get more done more efficiently. And if you're in a mode where you can't be interrupted, you're going to raise your hand, you know, sort of a signal to them that, you know, maybe that raising your hand means give me 5 minutes and I'll come get you. Or you motion to the chair, have a seat, I'll be with you in a minute, but I can't, you know, I have to finish an email or I'll forget what I was going to say. So for me to interrupt and not finish that email, I'm spending those 20 minutes figuring out, now what was I going to say next and how can I finish up this email? Or, you know, maybe it's a code word. You know, if it's family, if you've got kids at home and you're trying to get work done, you know, okay, when mom says watermelons, it means that you need to go away and give her 10 more minutes, you know, unless it's an emergency, of course. The other thing to think about with your work environment is to mark your place. And what I mean there is think about what I said about the work environment changing. And if your work environment changes, it's harder for you to go back to where you were. So get some like big sticky notes that are bright colors. And when someone comes into your desk, into your office area, your cubicle, to your table, wherever you're working, put a sticky note on that piece of on the piece of paper where you were working, or, you know, on the page of the project plan that you were reviewing or the presentation, and physically mark it. Or if you're working on your computer, maybe you don't need a big sticky note, but you write on a sticky note working on the XYZ project. And then you put that, like, if you can, put it in the middle of your computer so you remember what you were working on when you come back to it. The last idea here is to use a sign. And I've got just a little sample of a sign there. And it's just, you know, a simple do not disturb focused work in progress. And I have seen this work beautifully. I saw it work beautifully with a salesperson a while back. And she really wanted to make sure she was making sales calls at certain times of the day. You know, from a sales perspective, I think there's certain times of the day that are better than others to make calls. I think some companies call it like prime selling time. So, but she worked in an open area, cubicles, and everyone was really cordial with each other and bounced ideas off of each other. And she felt bad if she couldn't contribute to the ideas. So what she would do when she was in her prime selling time is she'd put a sign behind her chair. Now, her computer did not face out into the work area. It faced away from the work area. And it just said, you know, stop. Prime selling time in progress. And then her coworkers knew, oh, okay, I'm not going to interrupt her right now. I'm going to let her do that prime selling time, which is so important to our business. So it's, you know, people are sometimes afraid to try some of these strategies because they think, oh, my boss isn't going to like that. My boss needs to interrupt me. And I'm here to tell you that bosses appreciate that you're getting that work done. Now, yes, do they need you to have a strategy that's going to work within your environment? Absolutely. You know, it's not a strategy to get out of work. This is a strategy to get more work done. So the bosses that I've talked to, the people that I've managed, it really works, and I really encourage you to try those things. So next I want to move on to the learning objective of learn ways to overcome procrastination. And you guys could probably list 10 more things that I've got here. But on your handout, I've got some impacts listed of procrastination because I think it's important to think about how we lose out on that productivity when we procrastinate. And I've heard people talk about, you know, there's some procrastination that's productive. There's times when, no, this other thing I'm working on is really more important than the thing I'm procrastinating on today in this moment. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the times when procrastination causes stress or overwhelm for you, or it causes you to miss your deadlines. Or maybe you met your deadlines, but you've got lower quality work than you wanted, and you look at it afterwards and you go, oh boy, I could have done this better. I could have done a better job. Procrastination can sometimes make you late for meetings or appointments because you're putting off going to the meeting or appointment. You know, I call it one more thing-itis. It's, well, wait, if I need to leave for that meeting at 8:30 in the morning, I need to leave at 8:30 in the morning, not, oh, at 8:29, I'm going to try to get one more thing done. You can forget things when you procrastinate, and again, it goes to that, I guess the forgetting things is more of a lower quality because you're rushing, so you forgot to take the important piece of equipment that you needed to that meeting. And then it can even lead to financial troubles. What I find when I talk with people a lot is that they have trouble with their finances, not because they don't have enough money. They have plenty of money, but they forget to pay their bills. Or they don't forget, but they procrastinate to pay their bills, and then that leads to late fees and not really knowing where they stand financially, and it sort of creates this ongoing circle of financial issues. So what I'd like to talk about next is just what can you do about it? Because procrastination is natural. And it's natural that it causes time management issues. So what can you do proactively about procrastination to curb it, to really, you know, make things work for you? So I've just got a few of my favorite strategies here. One is to break things into smaller steps. You know, if you think about why you're procrastinating, and if you're procrastinating because the whole darn project seems too overwhelming, too big, then break it into smaller steps and just focus on one step at a time, and it will be less overwhelming. Now, you still have to activate yourself to start, but sometimes that action of starting can be a lot easier if it's a smaller step. So an example that I like to give is just, you know, sometimes if you're looking for a new job and you've got on your to-do list, find job. Well, that's huge. And I'm sorry, but that's an easy thing to procrastinate about because that's overwhelming. But if you break it down into smaller steps, rewrite resume. Get Sue to review my resume for me and give me feedback. Go to networking meeting on Friday and let people know I'm looking for a new job. Email 20 friends to let them know I'm looking for a new job. Research my 10 top companies that I want to work for in my community. Those are individual steps that maybe you do one a week, one a day, but start to make some of that progress with some of those smaller steps. Now, the next strategy you can do in combination with the smaller steps, and that's just start with just 10 minutes. So if you find yourself overwhelmed and you're like, I just don't even want to do it, just sit down at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and work on it for 10 minutes and see where you go. So chances are, if you're procrastinating on something, you're not going to finish it in those 10 minutes, although that would be a nice surprise. But really look at it as an opportunity to sort of try things out and see where you can go with it and see, is it as bad as you thought? Is there another way to approach it? Can you gain some momentum? Can you get excited about it? So it's a way, again, to get yourself started. And just tell yourself, it's only 10 minutes. How bad can it be? The next idea is what I call play race the clock. And you can use this, I recommend this one if you're procrastinating about things that don't take a lot of focus. They're just things you hate to do. So my favorite one is dishes. I hate to do dishes. And I'm often looking at a sink full of dirty dishes. Now, I make sure they get done once a day and, you know, get the family involved. Delegating can always help there as well. But the thing that amazes me, I don't know why it amazes me still, because really, I should know, because it works. If I set the timer for 10 minutes, and just if I work as fast as I can for the next 10 minutes, even if these dishes aren't done, I get to stop. And I go as fast as I can and do as much as I can, and I usually find that I get it done. And so, you know, you can apply that to anything you hate to do. Maybe it's vacuuming. All right, set the timer and vacuum as much of your house as you can in 10 minutes. When you're done, stop. If you do that a few times, you know, over the month or the week, you'll be pretty happy with how you vacuumed your house, as opposed to if you just let it build up and you don't get it done. Now, the other thing that I really like to recommend that you do is give yourself a reward for starting something. Now, this one you have to give it some more thought about, well, what is it that I'm procrastinating about and what kind of reward would be good? And my favorite example of this, and you know, I wish I could get a show of hands in the group, but if I am sure that at some time in your life, each of you have procrastinated about starting an exercise program. And I found myself a few years ago where I really needed to do something. I needed to get started with some exercise. And I had done running in the past and didn't hate it too bad, but was having a hard time getting motivated to get started with running again. So I decided that there was this piece of workout equipment that I really wanted. And it wasn't too expensive, but I just had never gotten around to ordering it. And so I said, okay, if I run 4 days in a row this week, or maybe it was, I don't know that it was 4 days in a row. I think it was if I run 4 days this coming week for at least a mile a day, I'm going to buy myself that new piece of equipment. And because I knew in my heart that once I started doing that, that I would keep it up. You know, it's once you've been doing it for 4 days, not that you've got that habit built, but I knew I would be motivated to keep it up. So I gave myself that reward for starting. And, you know, you could do, I know, gosh, as we give this class tonight, I'm looking out at a bunch of snow, and I know much of the country is under snow cover, but it's not too early to start thinking about planting flowers. And, you know, maybe, you know, what kind of, like, extra special plants can you get yourself or gardening apparatus as a reward for getting started with your planting? You know, those types of things that you're procrastinating about, how can you reward yourself? I think if you think of it too, you could probably come up with some ways to reward yourself at work for starting a project. You know, maybe it's I'm going to go get a special Starbucks coffee, or from the, even better would be the local coffee shop. You know, if I do something, you know, it's, you've got to really think about what's personally rewarding to you. And that's really important. So the next thing, so that's what I really wanted to cover on procrastination and really give you some ideas of how you can apply some strategies to really move past some of that procrastination. Now, the last learning objective I want to cover is to understand how to increase efficiency by planning ahead and using planners that work for you individually. Now, I talked about this a little bit at the beginning, that I know that there's probably a lot of you out there going, Laura, I hate to plan. I don't want to plan. I've tried a million different planners. None of them work for me. Leave me alone on the planning thing. Well, I'm not going to, because you need some sort of tool. And why do you need it? And I want you to really think about this. With ADHD, sometimes working memory challenges come. So you literally, you may think in the moment that you can remember this and you can get it done and no problem. But again, with that ADHD, you're having to remember that you've got working memory challenges, potentially. And if you do, remembering to do that is going to be a challenge. So having a tool to capture those tasks is going to be really important. Having a tool to remember that you've got an appointment tomorrow is going to be really important. And the next thing, as part of ADHD, and these thoughts that I'm giving you, they're really around the executive functioning, and that's really a key piece of ADHD, and there's, you know, Dr. Thomas Brown and Dr. Russell Barkley have both written about it, and many others as well. The other piece of executive function that can really be important for planning is activation, and where having a planning tool can really help you is it can really help you get started. Because if you've got something written down and you know you need to get it done, then that will help you get started. And then it's also going to help you focus, because it's going to help you decide, on what am I going to focus? You know, what is it that I need to do? So I'd like you to take a moment here in the space on the handout and write down, if you don't plan, now maybe you do, and if you do, congratulations, and we're still going to give you some tips for doing that, and I've got a free gift for everybody that I'd like you to be able to check out and really make sure you've got the right kind of planner that's really meeting your needs. But just think about, if you're not planning, what does life without planning look for you? And jot down some things that apply for you. I'm guessing, and if you happen to be listening to this on the recording, I'd pause the recording right now and just jot a couple ideas down. But I'm going to bet that many of you feel like you're always on the run if you don't plan, and you never have time to catch your breath, and you're never sure at the end of the day what you finished. It's like, gosh, I feel like I did a lot, but I don't really know what I did. And if someone came and asked me tomorrow what I did today, I'm not sure I could really tell them. I was busy and I got a lot done, and I seemed to keep everyone happy. But other than that, not sure if I would know, you know, exactly what to tell them. So my hope is that I've given you some incentive to plan and to get a planner that works for you if you haven't already done that and decided that for yourself. So the first thing to do is to make sure that you have a planner that works for you. And on page 4 of the handout, I've got a link for your free gift, and it's you're going to go to http://bit.ly/, and then all one word, choose your planner. And again, if you've got the handout, it should link directly from there. You can, I think you can copy and paste the URL. But check that out. I've got a list of characteristics for you to check off and prioritize, and then you can use that as you shop either online or in person for a planning tool. Now, if you're using a physical planner, keep it in a consistent location, both at home and at work. You know, it shouldn't be an issue of, oh, where's my planner? I can't find my planner. It should be a matter of it's right there on that corner of the desk. One thing that I've seen work really well is the book stands. And if you have a book stand, like they make them for cookbooks. I know Franklin Covey used to sell them. I don't know if they still do. But it keeps it off the desk. And that's it's sort of got a pedestal for you to, you know, kind of put your planner up on a pedestal, but it just helps it rise above the clutter if you do have clutter on your desk. And then commit to using your planner for at least 10 minutes a day. You know, if you don't work to build this habit, you won't build this habit. And, you know, if you heard yourself saying when I started talking about planners, yeah, Laura, no, you're wrong. I'm not going to use a planner. I don't want to. I can't. I don't need one. Then you might be someone who really just needs to, maybe you start with 5 minutes a day, but really give it a chance and give yourself some consistency around it and see what happens. And then, you know, use it every day, even on the weekends, because that's going to still build the habit. And even on the weekends, you know, you might not have a lot that you have to, like, I'm not saying that you have to use it for work, but, you know, on Saturday, you know that you need to run to the grocery store and you have a haircut appointment at 3:00. So you need to have somewhere that you're putting that. And it might be, you know, you might be using your phone, you might be using the computer, you might be using paper, you know, all of the above. That's okay, but just using it consistently is really going to help you in the long run plan for that, all those things that are on your list, and really help you manage to get them done. And it's going to bring more order to your world, and it's going to allow you to get more time, to get more productive. Now, I know it might feel like, well, if I dedicate all this time to planning, how am I going to get stuff done? And, you know, I probably need to find a study to share because I've seen it happen where if you just spend some time sitting down, thinking about what you need to do, you're going to get those priorities done and you're going to be more efficient for it. So I really encourage you to do that. So with that, again, I mentioned the free gift. I've got that on page 4 of the handout, and I've also got the link to our adult ADD time management intensive that is starting March 19th. But Tara, I'm ready for questions if we've got some.
Yeah, actually we have a few, but before we start taking the questions, would you tell people a little bit more about the Adult ADD Time Management Intensive?
Oh, I would love to. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. It is starting on March 19th, and we go for a total of 7 weeks, but we only have class on six of those weeks, and then we have a break in between, and that's a really nice opportunity to start implementing some of the strategies. And what we do is we really cover every aspect of time management in detail that you really need to learn and practice to really gain control over your time management. And that's why we call it intensive, because there is a lot of practice built in there. You'll have homework every week, and we'll go into why is time management such a challenge for people with ADHD and really understand that. Look at where you currently spend your time, how you can spend it more purposefully, and then we'll get a lot deeper into procrastination strategies, interruption strategies, using different tools and devices to get places on time. And we have both a basic track and an enhanced track. So you have an option either to listen in on the web and interact. There's a chat function and a forum. And then the enhanced version, we're going to limit that to 10 individuals. And you'll have the opportunity to talk with me throughout the class each night that we have class and ask questions and really, really make things work for you personally. Did I miss anything on that?
Yeah,
Tara?
I mean, registration will open this Thursday, the 27th. I want to give people a couple days to think about whether they want to sign up for it. I don't want to, feed into anyone's impulsivity on this call and tell them to sign up tonight. But we did just change it for the enhanced section. We used to allow 15 people, and now we're allowing 10 in. And the 15, we have 15 people, it usually sold out, so I'm pretty sure it will sell out this time. So definitely, if you want to sign up and be in the interactive session, make sure you set a reminder to go to the page and sign up on Thursday. So addtimemanagement.com, and it is one of our more popular programs, and people get a lot out of it. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. We did have some great questions, and if you're in the chat room, make sure you ask them below the chat room. And also please make sure they're actual questions. Okay, any ideas on how to remind myself when I first wake up in the morning about the resolutions I made at night? I sometimes set goals which I remember only after the deadlines. So what do you recommend for somebody to remember or to be aware of what they actually wanted to get done?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. A couple of things. Reminders in calendars, whether they be on the phone and or on your computer, are great. I use something called Cozy Calendar, and I can set that for if I've got something that's due on a certain day or an appointment on a certain day, I put that in on that time, but then I can set the reminders to be anywhere from 5 minutes before that to 3 weeks before that. So I'll give an example. When we were getting ready to do tonight's class, I was able to set it, 3 weeks out, make sure I get that handout to Tara by a certain day for tonight's class. And so it using the electronics that way and even on paper, to if you get in that habit of checking your planner every day, then, you can write those different things into your planner on certain days as well.
Yeah, and I'd say the more types of reminders or, like, say you wrote it down somewhere and you set up a voice reminder, the more of them, the better, because it's getting your brain to work different ways. But
that's
definitely
a great
point. Get it out of your head and put it somewhere else other than your head. You're not, I think you talked about this before, you more than likely will not remember unless you put it somewhere else.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if it's a reminder, like if it's something that you need to remember, like as soon as you get out of bed in the morning, I love putting a sticky note on my bathroom mirror. Because I have to look at my bathroom mirror, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I remember a coach that I used to know years ago talked about, he'd put sticky notes above his toilet. Like, I mean, think about where you look, or in front of his toilet for a guy, you know, he was facing the wall.
Right.
The toilet. Yeah, so, I mean, it's, you think, with ADHD, be creative. What are you looking at? Where do you go in the morning? You know, if you're one of those people that looks at your computer first thing in the morning or your iPhone, tape a sticky note to the iPhone or the computer. I mean, just put it somewhere you'll see it and look at it and pay attention to it, too.
Coffee maker, if you're a coffee drinker, is probably another good one.
And I just came across a great service called Snoozester. You get like 10 free trials, and it's a reminder service. You can either do wake-up calls or reminders. And the wake-up calls, you pay per credit, but they'll keep snoozing. Like if you want to be up at 6 o'clock, it'll keep reminding you till you wake up. And I think it's – I can't remember the price if you pay, but try it out. I mean, something like that where it's somebody else's voice, but you're actually – typing in and telling it, you know, what to say, and then somebody reminds you, so it's using different parts of your brain. I mean, stuff like that.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Snooze, Snoozeter, I think is how you spell it. If you spell it wrong in Google, it'll bring you to the right site anyway.
Right.
Yeah, so
that's
definitely
great.
Those reminders you need.
Yes.
Let's see. Here's one that I know a couple people wrote in about. How do you shut off the email notifications or different notifications on your computer or phone or whatever device you're using?
Oh, that's a great one. And if you go into your settings, you should be able to find how to turn off that notification. And what I find, especially like if you've got a common email program like Outlook or Gmail or even Apple Mail, if you've got a Mac, I would Google exactly how to do that, and I think there's probably instructions out there, maybe in the help screen as well, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be under settings for those different programs.
Yeah, and definitely Google it, because you'll have people that will do like YouTube videos with screenshots on how to do it exactly, because, you know, sometimes you'll read it and you can't, because I know I look at my iPhone and like I'll try to find notification thing and forget where it is and get overwhelmed. So
yeah,
it's definitely Google it, and those screenshots and those videos are amazing. It just
tells
you what to do. And usually it's people like us who are like overwhelmed and figured out how to do it and just said, okay, I'm going to help everyone else.
Right, exactly.
Okay, here's one that I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. Seems like no matter what I try, I'm running a few minutes late getting out the door to be somewhere. I try writing notes, setting watch clocks, you know, all different things. What will work to get me somewhere on time?
Multiple timers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you might need three, but I would start with two. So, you know, look at... You do have to figure out and be realistic about when you need to leave. So let's say I need to be somewhere by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I know for certain it's going to take me 15 minutes to get there. Then maybe add on another 5 minutes. So say I'm going to leave the house at 8:40. But don't set a timer. Set one timer to go off at 8:40. But set another timer for 8:30 as your warning that you have to start transitioning to leave the house. So, you know, using those two timers can really be a – I mean, I use it myself, and it works great with kids too, because it's like you're not then yelling at everybody else to get moving or, you know, beating yourself up because you forgot things. You know, it's using those audible reminders. And the other piece of that, and I'm not sure if this gets exactly to their question, but it's the age-old idea of pack up your stuff the night before.
Yep.
You know, so get my keys by the door, get my purse there, get my backpack, get my planner, you know, whatever it is that I'm going to need. Have it ready, because otherwise you could just waste 5 minutes minimum looking for all that stuff in the morning.
And I think if it's like a life and death thing you have to be at, like if you have to be at the airport a certain time, you miss that flight, you're in a lot of trouble. You could always have somebody call you. I mean, there are some times where these things may not work, and if it's a really important event, you need to be to, you know, have somebody call you. Or in the beginning, to help you practice get on time, you could just have somebody call you. I mean, there's so many different things. I think that's the thing. Like, you and I could give out probably 101 different things, but a lot of it's trial and error, too, and people have to play around and see what works for them.
Yes, yes. And I think the biggest thing is just one timer or call or note probably isn't going to be enough if this is a challenge for you.
Yeah.
You know, you need to kind of stack it in multiples to give yourself time to transition.
Yeah. And play with the different sounds of the alarm, because what happens with a lot of us with ADHD, we get bored and we stop ignoring, like, the chime. You know, so next week maybe we need the bullhorn. So play around with the different type sounds of alarms, too.
You know, and so many of them are fun now.
Yeah.
You know, the sounds. I mean, I had one go off on my phone today, and I looked at it like, where did that noise come from?
Yep.
And it got my attention, to your point. Absolutely.
I think mine is like a alarm, like fog. I mean, I can't ignore it. But, you know, sometimes it'll scare me if I forget I said it, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
It wakes me up. It gets me to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, different things. And the transitions are so important that you can't just expect one alarm, one reminder to go off at the exact time you need to be at someplace or leave. You do need to transition. If it's a big project, like a long term, like you said, you set up things over multiple days and weeks, or you know, if it's something to get out of the house in the morning, maybe it's like 3 or 4 times over an hour. But yeah, transitions for the adults and children with ADHD are very important.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we sometimes forget that for adults. You know, I think it's like you think about that more with kids, but, you know, I think the same need is there for adults as well.
Yeah. Can you recommend any specific planners or apps for adults with ADHD, whether maybe some that are specifically made for adults with ADHD or you found are helpful for adults with ADHD?
Sure. If we're talking like apps and electronic, I mentioned cozi.com. It's COZI. And there's a free version and there's a paid version. I can't remember how much the paid version is. There's the Google calendars are good. Those are probably two of my favorite. And the biggest thing for me there is that you can color code things. And I think that really just helps people from a visual perspective. And, you know, on your phone, you can typically, you should be able to look at like a month at a glance or a week at a glance to really give yourself a picture of what you've got going on. And from a paper planner perspective, if you have a number of different roles in your life that you're managing, which it's probably most of us do, right? So I've got the mom role, the employee role, maybe you've got a business owner role, a volunteer role. And I really like something called Planner Pad. I think it's plannerpad.com. And it gives you a way to list everything on your to-do list, either by role or by project, and then you boil it down to, well, what do I need to do today, and what's my schedule for today. So if you like paper, I think that's a good one to check out. And then, now, some people sort of cringe at the old Franklin Covey, you know, tried-and-true system, but it works really well for some people. So it's worth a try if you haven't tried it.
Okay, good. And is that it for the apps and recommendations?
Yeah, those are.
I mean, we don't want to overwhelm people giving them like a list of 80 of them, but I mean, those sound like great ones, and I know I've used a lot of those myself.
Yeah.
So we are actually at the end of the hour.
Okay.
I want to remind everyone again about the Adult ADHD Time Management Intensive, and you can learn more about it by going to www.adulttimemanagement.com, no adult in there. Yes. And that starts on March 19th. And also, Laura, could you give out your contact information to people who might want to get in touch with you after tonight's class?
Absolutely. You can always email me. It's Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at myattentioncoach.com. Or connect with me on Twitter. I love Twitter, and it's just at Laura Rolands, R-O-L-A-N-D-S. And you can also find me at my website, myattentioncoach.com, or on Facebook as well. I've got a Facebook page for My Attention Coach.
Okay, great. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for taking the time to listen to tonight's addclasses.com teleseminar. And also like to thank Laura Rolands. Thanks so much, everyone. Have a great night. Thank you.
Okay.